ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नरं
चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये नश्प्रायश्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत्सेवया तीर्थम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। सो टुडे वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो वन एंटाइटल्ड क्रिएशन चैप्टर सेवन एंटाइटल्ड द सन ऑफ द्रोणा पनिश्ड टेक्स्ट 29। सूत उवाच श्रुत्वा भगवता प्रोक्तम् फाल्गुनः परवीरः स्पृष्ट्वा पस्तं परिक्रम्य ब्राह्मं ब्राह्मास्त्रं संददे वर्ड फॉर वर्ड मीनिंग्स। सूतः सूत गोस्वामी उवाच से श्रुत्वा आफ्टर हियरिंग भगवता बाय द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ
गॉडहेड
प्रोक्तम व्हाट वाज सेड फाल्गुनः अनदर नेम ऑफ श्री अर्जुन परम परवीरः द किलर ऑफ द ऑपोजिंग वॉरियर स्पृष्ट्वा आफ्टर टचिंग आपः तम हिम परिक्रम्य सर्कमएम्बुलेटिंग ब्राह्मं सुप्रीम लॉर्ड ब्राह्म अस्त्रम द सुप्रीम वेपन संददे एक्टेड ऑन। ट्रांसलेशन बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। श्री सूत गोस्वामी सेड हियरिंग दिस फ्रॉम द पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड अर्जुन टच्ड वाटर फॉर प्यूरिफिकेशन एंड आफ्टर सर्कमएम्बुलेटिंग लॉर्ड श्री कृष्ण ही कास्ट हिज ब्रह्मास्त्र weapon to counteract the other one. Translation, please repeat. Sri Suta Goswami said, hearing this from the personality of Godhead, Arjun touched water for purification and after circumambulating Lord Shri Krishna, he cast his Brahmastra weapon to counteract the other one. So there is no purport. I'll read next verse. Text 30. Samhatyanyonyam ubayos तेजसी शरसंवृते आवृत्य रुदसीखं च ववृद्धातेर्कवहनिवत्। ट्रांसलेशन। When the rays of the two brahmastras combined, a great circle of fire like the disk of the sun covered all outer space and the whole firmament of planets. Purport. The heat created by the flash of a Brahmastra resembles the fire exhibited in the sun glow at the time of cosmic annihilation. The radiation of atomic energy is very insignificant in comparison to the heat produced by a Brahmastra. The atomic bomb explosion can at utmost blow up one globe, but the heat produced by the Brahmastra can destroy the whole cosmic situation. The comparison is therefore made to the heat at the time of annihilation. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhisham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayamrupa Padamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarunam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyascha Patitanapavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhavarinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Continuing discussion from chapter 7, where Krishna appears first time in Bhagavatam. Actually, Krishna appears from the very beginning, but Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, the first verse, that's Krishna, son of Vasudev. So it's not that Krishna is appearing now, but it's very clear here that okay, Krishna's pastime is here. And other incarnations are always there. So this is also, I can say, not the original form. This is also Vasudev Krishna, who is at the battlefield of Kurukshetra fighting. So original form is Vrindavan Krishna, who is killing demons there and having pastimes with gopas and gopis. So very amazing discussion here. So if we see it in a perspective that it is related, how it's related to the ultimate plan of Krishna, then it becomes meaningful. Otherwise, if we take just one verse out of the whole scene, it doesn't have much meaning. You know, two Brahmastras are colliding and there's so much fire. So what's the use for us? So it sometimes can become unclear. So we'll try to see in perspective how we can apply the lessons from this pastime. So whole Srimad Bhagavatam, as we know, it's the Vedic literatures, all the Vedic literatures, it's considered, they are considered combinedly, they are considered like a tree, desire tree. So desire tree means if you ask something, you get that. So all the Vedic scriptures, there are different parts in the Vedic scriptures. Karma Khan, Jnana Khan, Upasana Khan. So different people have different motives, so they can derive that type of fruit from the Vedic literatures. And Srimad Bhagavatam is called the mature fruit of that Vedic tree. So ultimately by following any section of the Vedas, the ultimate goal is to know Krishna. Vedaischaya sarvai aham eva vedya. So by reading and understanding any part or all of the Vedas or Vedic literatures, the goal is to understand Krishna. But Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature fruit because it directly discusses the pastimes of Krishna. So that's very important. That's why it's called mature fruit. Nigama kalptaror galitam phalam. All these Vedic literatures are considered kalptaru, the desire tree, and the galitam phalam, the mature fruit, is Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is said Bhagavatam is already so nectarian because it's the mature fruit. When the fruit is ripe, it's very nectarian. So it's already so nectarian, but it became more nectarian when it has come from the lips of Shukadeva Goswami. Shuka Mukhad Amrita Dravya Samyutam. So this was already tasty and delicious, but when it came out of mouth of Shukadeva Goswami, became like Maha Maha Prasadam. So it became more nectarian. So this is spiritual world. Spiritual world means the ecstasy keeps on increasing many, many fold. So there is no limit to that. Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, like that. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is full of nectar. Rasam Alayam. So this is the rasa we can taste. So in the beginning we may not have taste for Srimad Bhagavatam. When we start reading we may fall asleep, or even in the class we may fall asleep. But the remedy is we continue to read with a submissive attitude. So we have we have taste for some feature, some part of Krishna consciousness, maybe prasadam, you know. We are very enthusiastic. We don't find people falling asleep. Oh no, I have to eat one more rasgulla. Oh no, you know. Maybe when you are full, then you don't want to honor more. But generally, you know, we have taste at least. So it's very easy to get taste. Some people have very nice taste to take darshan. You know, some people can just stare at the deities for a long time. So we have taste. It's a beautiful decoration. It attracts some people. Different people have different tendencies, and Krishna can attract everyone. Krishna is full of transcendental qualities. Atma Ramasya Muniyo Nirgantha Apyurukrame Kurvanti Ahiturkim Bhakti Ittam Bhuta Gunamati. So this Atmaram verse says that all the Atmarams, people who take pleasure in the Atma or the Spirit Self, and especially those who are established on the path of self-realization, although they are freed from their material bondage, but still they desire to render unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. So this actually means, this proves that Krishna has so many transcendental qualities that he can attract everyone, every single living entity, even the liberated souls. So Shukadeva Goswami and four Kumaras, they were Brahman realized. They had nothing. They were not attracted by anything in the material world, but still they were attracted by transcendental qualities of Krishna. And of course, four Kumaras by the smell of tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of Krishna. So this proves that Krishna is so attractive that he can actually attract everyone. So it's good if we identify what our attraction is. Like in the beginning, for my, you know, me, when I came to Australia as a student, pretty much I think second day, someone told me, yeah, there's a Crossways restaurant, please go, it's cheap food for students. So I started going. So I got prasadam pretty much as soon as I came to Australia. So I got access to prasadam. But I wasn't attracted to prasadam. I was just eating to fill my belly, and because it was cheap, and I had turned vegetarian. That's all. So for many, many months, I was not attracted to prasadam. But there was purification. And when I got Bhagavad Gita, I was immediately attracted to the message and the presentation, how Srila Prabhupada has presented Bhagavad Gita as it is. So I was attracted. Then later, I developed attraction for prasadam also. So this is the thing. If we identify what is our attraction and we take indulge more in that aspect of Krishna consciousness, then slowly we will develop attraction for every aspect of Krishna consciousness. So this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Krishna just, it's like the fisherman, you know, puts the, what's it called, the bait. So Krishna is putting different baits, different types for different living entities. And once you are caught, that's it. you are in the realm of Krishna, then you will be attracted. That. So here, the pastime we are reading at the moment is full of action, nuclear weapons are there. Previously, in the last few verses there was one nuclear weapon, Brahmastra. Now we have two, you know, Arjuna's also to counteract the other Brahmastra. Arjuna has released his Brahmastra, and the combined heat and light is so great that it has actually covered all the outer space, whole universe, to say. So here Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the atomic bombs that scientists are creating these days are actually nothing. They can, at most, they can destroy one planet, this Earth planet. And of course they say we are creating this for peace. We are creating these bombs so that we can have peace and defense. It's called the defense, you know, the defense ministry creates all these bombs, but actually that's the greatest threat. If they are creating, means it's a threat for everyone. But here Arjuna was totally qualified to possess such a weapon, because he his goal was to protect the citizens, like that. So here in this scene we have so much action. So as we were discussing, Krishna has so many qualities, and he can actually taste different rasas. Another name of Krishna is Rasaraj. He is the king of all the rasas, or Rasika Shekhar. He is the topmost enjoyer of all the rasas. In this world, we can't actually enjoy any rasa. Momentarily, we have a false feeling that, okay, oh, we have this rasa, you know, different things. People have these tendencies because we are a part of Krishna. So Krishna wants to fight, Krishna wants to love, Krishna has different pastimes. So we have these tendencies. But we are trying to fulfill them without Krishna. So we cannot be actually satisfied. So here even Krishna enjoys fighting. But in this world, you see, fighting means suffering. So Krishna is enjoying fighting. So this is very wonderful. Because he is Rasika Shekhar. He can enjoy. He can only enjoy. He is the supreme enjoyer. He cannot suffer. So now here we see he is enjoying this fighting. He enjoyed fighting with so many demons in Vrindavan, with Hiranyakashipu. You know, when Hiranyakashipu was trying to fight with Narasimhadev, you know, he caught him and then he let him go. It's just like a cat, you know, sometimes catches the mouse and lets him go. But it's mouse is always under the control, and then finally the cat catches the mouse. So that's like that. He was enjoying. He was just playing with his enemy. So saying Krishna always enjoy any in any situation. And same way people are just trying to enjoy different situations. If we see people go to different movies, and we have different serials on television. So what's depicted, what's on the screen is actually what we want to enjoy. So when you go, most of us, we used to go to movies. I used to go to movies a lot, and used to see. We are trying to actually enjoy those relationships which are shown on the screen, because we actually picturize, you know, okay, there's a hero and the heroine, and we picturize, oh, I am that. And then we try to have this subtle enjoyment. Or if there is suffering, sometimes people come out crying. So we try to relate ourselves with that, because we are trying to enjoy those aspects of life. But ultimately, we cannot enjoy. So the if we take this Krishna Leela in our life, then actually we have access to all those, all the drama and action, but we can enjoy also. So this is the higher taste. If we read Krishna book, everything is there. What's there in movies, everything is there in Krishna book, but that's on the absolute platform, not on relative platform. So I remember when I started coming to temple, and I think started chanting also, but I was still watching movies where I was staying. So I still remember the last time I saw, I was watching a movie, I had seen it before, so that was because we used to watch some movie 2-3 times. So I was watching, and then I had been reading Bhagavad Gita and taking prasadam and associating with devotees. So I think I was, so I had had enough of those stale rasas in the movies. So I was halfway through the movie, I thought, what am I doing? Why am I watching this? You know, there's no use. I've already watched it. I know what's going to happen, and it's pretty boring. So this is higher taste we get from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and then we can reject the lower traits. Param Drishtva Nivartate. So it is also said actually, in this world, the highest enjoyment we can have is sense gratification. But in spiritual world, in third canto it's mentioned that when we say there are millions of goddesses of fortune in the spiritual world, so it doesn't necessarily mean all the Lakshmi. There are goddesses who are wives of others in the spiritual world, and they are all serving Krishna or Narayan in the Vaikuntha planets, and they are not attracted to enjoy each other because they are busy in serving Krishna. So there it proves actually they have this higher trace, and although the lower pleasure is available, but they are not interested in that. It's like if we have a bowl of sweet rice and filthy product in another bucket, stool or urine, we won't be attracted. We'll just take sweet rice, although it may be present. So it's the same way. So when we develop this higher taste, then other things may be present. We won't be attracted. So that's the standard is spiritual realm. So here Krishna is enjoying fighting. And we see how soon, actually, chapter 9, we'll see how Bhishma has this relation with Krishna in chivalrous rasa, in this fighting rasa. He wants to fight. And Krishna enjoys fighting. Even there's in Nectar of Devotion, it's written how in presence of Kunti, sometimes Krishna would fight with Arjuna also, just mock fighting, because he has this tendency, and he would many of friends in Vrindavan, Sri Ram and other friends, they would challenge Krishna. Oh Krishna, you think you are very powerful, come fight with me, I'll defeat you. So like that. So Krishna's yogmaya potency covers all the residents of Vrindavan, and they some think that we are on the same level, or maybe more. We can defeat Krishna, and sometimes Krishna is even defeated by them. Then he has to carry them on his shoulders as a punishment, like that. So this amazing knowledge that how we can enjoy fighting is here exhibited by Krishna. And Arjuna is his pure devotee. So Arjuna is basically a king or prince. Yudhishthira and all the five brothers were supposed to rule the whole planet. So in old days, when the system of Varnashrama was working perfectly, we see how these kings who were devotees of Lord. So in Bhagavad Gita we have this proof that these kings were not just ordinary leaders who were hungry after the position. You know, these days we see these days politicians, they become old, they can't leave the chair, the position. They don't want to leave that. They want to continue on and on. They are just hungry for fame and money and these false prestige. But these kings in old days, they were actually real kings and real leaders. And they, in Bhagavad Gita, they are called as Rajarshis. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshyo vidu sa kalene maitha yoga nashta parantapa. So these kings were actually Rajarshis, saintly kings, not just kings, saintly kings. So the purpose of these saintly kings were to protect the citizens, and main protection given to them is actually to just to ensure that they are following the religious path properly. If there is a hindrance in their following religious path, then they would become angry. Like Parikshit Maharaj, when he saw Kali was destroying religion, so he became very angry, and then he was ready to use his sword. So same way here, Arjuna is angry because religious principles are at stake. So these are the Rajarshis who had full power, and they used it in correct way. But these days, you know, in 12th canto it's mentioned, in Kali Yuga, the leaders, politicians would be so corrupt that actually people, and they would exact so much taxes that people would like to run to the forests. So tax rates are increasing because they want to just enjoy. And here we see, in Australia and I think in New Zealand also, that government is very merciful. You know, if you are not working, they give you some money. You know, so this looks contradictory to what we are saying, but actually, this is also of no use ultimately, because if Krishna is not in the center, these are all zeros. So what do people do with this money they get? What are they called? Commission flats. You see, they get free accommodation, they get money weekly or every 2 weeks. And what do they use that money for? You see, very low class standards in the of most of these people who get money. There are many actually, genuinely maybe some don't have jobs, and many actually they don't want to work, they are lazy. And then when they get this money for doing nothing, they become more lazy. You know, they don't want to get a job and be responsible for their life. So even this so-called compassion by the government is actually ignorance. So if there is no Krishna in the picture, then there cannot be any good quality. Harava bhaktasya kuto madguna mano rate nasti dhavato vahi. So Bhagavatam says, if there is a devotee, he may not have any qualities, but he is sincere. And if he serves Krishna, all the qualities would manifest. All the qualities of demigods. Sarvai yasyati bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvai gunai samasate sura. All the qualities of demigods will manifest. But if one is a non-devotee, he may show some external quality, but it's just his mental concoctions, and he has no good qualities actually, because he's not a devotee like that. So these saintly kings were actually real leaders. So in this day and age we are living, it's very hard to conceive these facts. These are the facts given in Bhagavatam. This is not a mythology that, you know, these things are happening. Brahmastra and these saintly kings, and under protection of these kings, all the citizens were happy. So these are not fiction. This is not fiction. These are facts given here. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, from beginning to end, so many facts are given. But because of our conditioning, they look little far away or little inconceivable. So we have to develop this, we have to understand this. So how to understand these things given? Now continuing that theme, like these saintly kings, so it's a very nice story given in 9th canto. So it's hard to believe many pastimes. If you see 5th canto, the structure of universe, it's many things are contrary to what scientists say now. So it's hard to verify the knowledge given in Bhagavatam to what we have currently in front of us in day-to-day life. So, as we know, Lord Brahma is the creator of the universe. In 3rd canto we see all the creation, and of course here also, 1st canto there is some part. So that itself is very amazing, that there is Lord Vishnu lying on the Garbhodak ocean, and from his navel there comes a lotus flower, and on top there is Lord Brahma, and he creates all whole universe. So this itself is very inconceivable. And then Brahma had many sons. One of the sons was Marichi, and Marichi had a son Kashyapa, and Kashyapa and Aditi, they had these demigods. So one son of Kashyapa was Vivashvan. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Imam Vivashvate Yogam Proktavan Hamavyam, that I first spoke this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to Vivashvan, the sun god. So this itself is very inconceivable. There is a person living in fire on sun, and I, you know, millions of years ago, I spoke this knowledge to him. So it's very inconceivable. If you go on book distribution, you say, excuse me sir, I'm showing this book. And the first, actually, this is a conversation, and first time this was spoken to a man who is made of fire, and lives on a place which is on, he lives on sun. So please take, only $15. He said, I won't even give you 5 cents, what you explain. So it's very hard to believe all these things. So Vivashvan, who's on the sun. But if we carefully actually analyze and give them some proofs, even scientists have found some living entities, extremophiles, they can live in extreme conditions, you know. Then they say, scientists say, then it's okay, then it may be all right. So then, because they consider them as their authorities, Mahajans, and they follow their path. So anyway, so this Vivashvan, now his son was Manu, Vaivaswat Manu, who is the current Manu. Another name is Shraddhadev. Now he had, as we know, the first verse of fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So Vivashvan spoke this knowledge to his son Manu, Vaivaswat Manu, and he spoke to his son Ikshvaku, like that. So this is how this knowledge goes down from guru to shishya, you know, in this case the father to son, like that. So this Manu had another son, actually, whose name was Sudyumna. Actually, before Ikshvaku was born, this is given in first chapter of ninth canto. Before Ikshvaku was born, Manu desired son. So he called some priests, Vasishtha Muni and others, and they said, oh, I don't have a son, I need a son, because all the royal order needs son to carry forward their dynasty and rule, actually. The king is required, the saintly kings are required. So he was in anxiety. I don't have a son. So all these priests, they did some yajna. But the wife of Manu, she wanted a daughter. So they did the yajna and a daughter was born. And then Manu was very upset. He told all the priests, what's this? How have your mantras gone wrong? His daughter, here, I need a son, need someone to carry on the dynasty. So they said, okay, don't worry. And the daughter's name was Ila, and then by their mystic powers, they converted Ila to a boy, and he became the prince or the next king, Sudyumna. Now once Sudyumna, when he was ruling, he went to a forest with his ministers and soldiers. And as soon as he entered the forest, he saw he became a woman. So he was very surprised, and he saw all his other ministers and soldiers, they all were converted. They all became women. So they all were very surprised. And then later they found out, because in that forest many times Lord Shiva and Parvati used to enjoy. So because of appeal of Parvati, Lord Shiva had made this rule that whoever enters this forest will become a woman. So now there was no king to rule. So they again went and do this priest, and later it was decided that for 1 month King Sudyumna would remain a male, and for 1 month he would remain a female. So Now, how inconceivable is that? It's very inconceivable. So we may read that fast time and we say, oh, nice story, very nice, Vasishtha Muni is there. But to take it as a fact, as an actual fact, it's hard. So what is the thing that, how is it possible to take Bhagavatam word for word? Like literally, what's written is there and I'm going to base my life on Bhagavatam. Nashprayasya Vadeshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. So these Bhagavatam is of two types. One is this book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam. Person Bhagavatam means he has taken Bhagavatam as his life and soul and he is walking and talking and according to Bhagavatam. He is living his life according to Bhagavatam. So that's the stage we must aspire for. And that can be achieved by this process given in the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, where it says, Dharma Projito Khetavutra Parmo Netmat Saranam Satam, that this Srimad Bhagavatam actually just rejects all cheating types of religion and which are materially motivated. So any material motivation, any tinge of karma or jnana is actually what blocks us from getting this pure devotion. And the last line of the verse, Sadhyo Hritya Avrudyate Kritivi Shushushu Vistatshana. So there it says, how we can actually understand Bhagavatam as a fact is by submissive and attentive hearing. Shushusho. As soon as one submissively and attentively hears the message of Bhagavatam, the Supreme Lord is established within the heart as a fact. Tatshana, they say tatshana means at that moment. It's not that, okay, this is a 5-year plan, okay, I have to wait. You know, no, Bhagavatam says that moment. As soon as we become serious, Bhagavatam reveals that Bhagavatam is Krishna. So that's revealed to us. So that's Krishna is actually like an actor. He acts in a way, and so that's why it's hard to believe that, oh, he's God. He just looks like an actor. He just hides his real identity. And when we are qualified, then actually he reveals everything to his devotee and bhaktosime sakhacheti. One who is a devotee and a friend to Krishna. Then we can actually understand. So the teachings like Bhagavatam was revealed first to Lord Brahma from within the heart. So he spoke the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. The four seed verses were revealed. So the second verse actually says, Ritertham yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani. So there it says, whatever, what appears to be truth without me is certainly my illusory energy. And for nothing can exist without me. So what is Maya or illusory energy is that this world appears very real. You know, day-to-day life. If we don't read Bhagavatam, or, you know, if we don't chant, life would go on, right? Means we have, we feel that, okay, this is real world, we have our activities. Life can go on without chanting, without reading Bhagavatam. So that's the illusion. That's what Krishna here says. That what appears to be truth without me is actually my illusory energy. It's so wonderfully designed and it covers. Recently actually on God Purnima we had Harina with Keshava Prabhu. So he's very lively and enthusiastic. So he would pass some comments also when we were doing Harina. So he would say, when he's chanting Hare Krishna, then he'd say, everyone chant. This is the order of the queen, or something like that. Then one thing is, everyone chant. This is the real thing. Like that. So people, when we do Harinam on the street, they say, you know, they have lost the purpose of life. What are they doing in these crazy outfits and chanting? But no, this is the real thing actually. This is the goal of life. Chanting and more chanting. So, but to everyone, this material world seems very real. we have job, we have family, and you know what Krishna we can do without him like that. So that's in second canto it's given, deha patya kalatradishva atma saneshva satsapi tesham pramutto nidunam pashyan apina pashyati. So he said, although they are sufficiently experienced, because living entity has gone through many universes, it's not that living entity is not experienced. Living entity was in spiritual world, fell down to material world, and it's going through many species and many universes in different bodies. Brahman Brahmite is circumambulating the whole universe in different species. So sufficiently experienced. In different bodies, living entity has tried to enjoy, and he has seen so many sufferings and so many types of deaths. So it's not that living entity is not experienced, but still pashyan apina pashyati, still cannot, living entity cannot see the inevitable destruction. And why is that? Deha patya kalatra vishva. So one who is devoid of knowledge of Krishna, they have these fallible soldiers around. What are the fallible soldiers? Three examples are given: body, children and wife. So there, of course, devotees have a body, devotees have children and wife, but they use it for Krishna. That's totally opposite. But materialists, they think these are the things which will save us. These are the soldiers. I'm fully protected, I'm guarded now. I have this body which is so nice, I decorate it every day. I have my wife, I have my children. So, and we see example of Ajamil. So at the time of death, when he was dying, he called for his son as if he would protect him. But of course he got the benefit. He helplessly he chanted the name of Narayan, that was his son's name. But there he proved he was calling his son. So people feel, oh, this bank balance I have, this insurance I have, this will actually protect me. But these are all fallible soldiers. Atma Saneshu Asat Sapi. Asat is not real. So that's why devotees actually dedicate their lives, whatever they have, for Krishna's pleasure. So then actually they are utilizing their life. For materialists, Nidraya Riyate Naktam Vyavayana Chavavaya Deva Charteha Rajan Kutumba Bharanenava. So what do materialists do? Two things. At night, either they are sleeping or having sense enjoyment. In the day, again they are doing only two things. Either they are making money or trying to maintain family members. That's their all in all. It's nothing else. So they are just, life goes in a flash, and then again this cycle of birth and death keeps going on. But devotees actually utilize their life. And how they utilize their life is by discussing these topics of Krishna, discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, both by rising and setting of sun, you know, this life, you know, it's life is just passing so fast, and we just it will go in a second, and we'll always remain in this Maya. So here, Brahmastras, they created so much effulgence, so much explosion. So actually, whatever we see in this material world, whatever glitter, it's just a tiny spark of Krishna. In 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, whatever splendorous or glorious you see in this world is just mere a spark of my real splendor. So if we, you know, the sun, here it's compared to the sun, you know. There was, when these two Brahmastras collided, it had so much heat and lighted it like a sun. And I was reading one description how about jewels of Krishna. Like Krishna is decorated with these jewels and different ornaments. And the effulgence of those jewels that Krishna has, of course he has Kausubha jewel on his neck and other jewels on his body. So the effulgence of those jewels are actually like millions of suns. This one sun is actually nothing. So these jewels just radiates so much light that this one sun is nothing. And on top of that, more so, Krishna's effulgence, the effulgence of Krishna's body is even more than the effulgence of those jewels. So it is said here in this, we see that generally we wear these ornaments to beautify our body. You know, men, women, both they wear. Mm-hmm. In the city you see they have these, they put these rings. In these days men, women, both, they because they are in ignorance. In ignorance actually one quality is, aspect of mode of ignorance is you torture others and you torture yourself also. So there you see this tattooing and tattooing shop, and they put different rings, they put ring on their tongue, and it's pretty much suffering here, everywhere they can actually, on the whole ear, you know. It's basically suffering, self-torture. So anyway, they are trying to look beautiful in that way. So these different ornaments. But for Krishna, Krishna actually beautifies the ornaments he wears. So that's the beauty of Krishna. So who would not be attracted by him? So by attentively hearing actually this knowledge of Bhagavatam, we will be attracted by Krishna if we have a submissive and sincere attitude. And with that attitude, if we chant Hare Krishna, then the name, fame, form, pastimes, everything will be revealed. Just by chanting the holy name. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramraja. Just by chanting the holy name, everything else would be revealed. Like that. And what is the goal of chanting? Of course, everything would be revealed and we would be inspired to chant more. So like that. Generally, we struggle to finish 16 rounds and now we are hearing, oh, the goal of chanting is more chanting. So it's a little disappointing for me. So, no, it's actually very wonderful. So, the chanting about Krishna is, of course, we 16 rounds, so at least minimum on japa beads. Then we have kirtan, sankirtan. If we are doing book distribution, we are chanting glories of Lord. We are chanting glories of prasadam. So like that, there are so many activities, Bhagavatam class, discussing with devotees different aspects of Krishna consciousness. As Bhagavad Gita says, devotees constantly they converse about Krishna and they relish in that. So more chanting. So we will discuss more about Krishna. So that's the goal of chanting like that. And initially we may have come to Krishna consciousness because mostly actually, you know, when we are distressed and we see, oh, Krishna consciousness is a positive lifestyle, there is a positive lifestyle, people are happy, so we are very much attracted. So we may come initially as, some are, of course, some are attracted to the knowledge and other things, but mostly if we see people come to Krishna consciousness because they are distressed. So initially it's alright, that's the, we see that we have avoided the negative part of life. But as we go on in our devotional life, that's not enough. So what we have to do, we have to put our full heart into Krishna consciousness and develop this love for Krishna. Otherwise there is a danger that the chanting would just remain mechanical. And when we are chanting, we are actually asking for engaging ourselves in service of Radha and Krishna. And then when service comes, we would say, no, thank you. So that means the chanting was mechanical. But on a real platform, we are always begging Krishna, please, and what is the service for me? How should I serve you and please you the most? So that's the goal of a devotee's life, to please Krishna most. And Krishna is not just standing there and accepting our service, he is reciprocating also. So once actually it is said, once we actually see the reciprocation of Krishna, then we become unstoppable in devotional service. So we do more service, Krishna reciprocates more. Then we want to serve more, he reciprocates even more. You know, if we Krishna is, you know, that's a popular saying, if we give Krishna with one hand, he gives with 10 hands. How much can we take? So Krishna is like that. And when we are in devotees also go through many struggles in life. So Krishna actually is taking care at that time. That's why Kunti Maharani prays, Vipada Santu Tashashvat Tatra Tatra Jagadguru Bhavato Darshanam Yat Sat Apunar Bhava Darshanam. That, oh Lord, let those calamities happen again and again, for then we can actually see you again and again. Because seeing you means we would no longer see repeated births and deaths. So that's what's the real prayer. Devotee is actually not suffering. When he suffers, Krishna reciprocates and takes care more. So when we are in so-called suffering, at that time actually we can surrender to Krishna, we can see real, that was a test of Krishna, and then we can actually see presence of Krishna and Krishna's reciprocation. There is one example I was hearing about, that like when there is an employee in a job, you are working somewhere and you get hurt or something, and then you get compensation, right? So you get more than what you are getting usually. You get more. So same way, this is in the material world. What about Krishna? So when you are suffering, so actually Krishna looks after a devotee more. So we just have to catch that, how Krishna is looking after me. So if we see that, then we'll actually feel that yes, we are on the right path, and we'll take to the spontaneous platform of devotional service rather than mechanical platform. So here Arjuna is proving, from the example of Arjuna, the greatest danger, he saw this Brahmastra of Ashwatthama coming towards him and he took shelter of Krishna. He had even time to offer some prayers there. two, three shlokas there, he is offering prayer, oh Krishna, please save me, like that. So this is a real surrender, that is, when we have trouble, we take full shelter of Krishna and then we will be protected always. So I would like to stop there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes.
Yeah, like you just told that when you feel the reciprocation from Krishna, so it's like, it's very ecstatic and you feel really happy. You become unstoppable. Like, I can imagine that situation. But asking you, like, have you ever felt that this reciprocation from Krishna? Like, how was the experience? And please elaborate a bit, like, how the reciprocation is. What do you feel exactly?
What do you feel exactly?
Yeah, okay. The
question is asking, okay, when you felt, or personally is asking me, when you felt reciprocation for Krishna, how does it feel? So he wants to know that feeling.
Yeah, please elaborate.
Elaborate? Okay.
I'll
try. Okay.
particularly, your feeling.
Okay. So now the proof that I had some reciprocation.
No, I don't know what proof, I just.
Okay, how it felt.
Share your experience. I believe that
Yeah, I'll come to that. So the proof that I had some reciprocation means I'm still here, you know, that I'm still here, hanging around the temple. So that proves that, yes.
Now, yes. You share your experience.
So ultimately it's very hard to explain, because it is said, like, if there is a, this is a mystical feeling devotees have. What is there that keeps you coming to Krishna? So it's a very mystical feeling. You can't explain exactly. Exactly you can't explain. So it's like if everyone has a different feeling. I can tell some experiences, but it's like if someone has not had chocolate ever. Of course we don't, or take example of honey. And you ask, okay, how does honey feel? How does honey taste? So it's very hard to describe honey, like how it tastes. You have to take it. You know? So yeah, I had few experiences, like I told. I was reading many books on about spirituality, but they were very vague. The knowledge of absolute truth given was very vague, but as soon as I opened Bhagavad Gita, everything was clear. And then later I felt actually, oh Krishna, and many times I see where, have you seen that picture? There's a devotee who's drowning. There's an ocean, he's drowning, and Krishna comes on Garuda and he's trying to save him. Have you seen that picture? It's like Mrityu Sansar Sagara. Krishna saves one from this ocean of birth and death. So sometimes I feel, I was just suffering actually. When I came as a student here, I was really suffering. And when I started coming to temple and associating with amazing devotees, I saw a lot of change in my life. So that's one reciprocation. And we get reciprocation every day. With every morsel of Mahaprasadam you put, there is a reciprocation. You feel the taste, you feel the bliss. So that's reciprocation from Krishna. So there are unending reciprocation, so time is a little less.
Okay, sir, thank you very much for a very inspiring lecture. And I was reading in consistent what you were telling. Prabhupada said that a devotee can reach spiritual world in less than 1 second. That is the subtle power of chanting the Buddha name. And so he can reach in less than 1 second. About the answer for this question, I'll tell you one story. I was in Sydney a few years back, and I was going to throw some grains into the ocean. And as I got out of my car, approaching toward the beach, a very ferocious black dog came towards me, and I thought, I'm gone. So I said, Narasimha Dev, and you get the red dog. So how Krishna is reciprocating, you will feel all the time. He is little surrender. That's what he said, we are here, we are here. Because we are feeling every day, in every walk of life, Krishna is giving support in every, whatever you need. So you have to have strong faith. And strong faith is here, the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. You will be completely doubtless about the existence of ocean. And material world is just like a foam on the ocean.
Any other comments or questions?
Yes, it's okay. There are another
questions. But I think I really appreciate your answer. That's what this is also says, that we have to open the jar of money and take the hand. This is a good example to remind us.
I'm most drunk. Okay, thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, God Premanand.